Okay, so, a dad like God. Happy Father's Day to your fathers. Put your hand up if you're a father. Keep your hand up if you're a grandfather. A very special Father's Day to you guys as well. What about, have we got great grandfathers? We do. Whoa, well done, John. Hey? What about great-great-grandfathers? Well, I know my grandson calls me great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. Well, he calls me Grumps, but great-great-grumps. How's that? Rightio. Oh, and also after the service, if you want carrots, we've got a big tub of carrots out there, really nice, good carrots. If you've got horses, great. If you've got kids, great. Whatever, carrots, all right? So, that's enough. Those are my dad jokes. Kyla said to me this morning, he goes, hey, why don't you have a competition on dad jokes? I went, oh, yeah. I said, well, I'd win that. And then she goes, well, why don't you have a competition, like get all the dads up and do push-ups and all that? And I said, well, no, that's unfair because I'd win that. So, anyway. He's been training. Great. Well, keep training. Actually, if you want to have a push-up partner, see Lance. Lance does, I think, can you do two fingers at the moment now? You're working on that. Right. All right, Doug Lansky. He is a travel writer and a photographer and has been for many years. And in the course, I'm absolutely blown away by what he does. Right, I want to put up here some pictures of signs that I want to show you. Do you get that? I love signs. I love looking at his website because I've taken photos of a lot of signs too that don't make much sense. What about the next one? Please follow the one-way arrows. I mean, I've heard people being stressed out at shopping centres. That would make you stressed out, wouldn't it? Which way to go? What about the next one? Fair dinkum. What about this one here? That's 24-hour fitness with escalators. That's my sort of... Hey, Dave, yeah, that's good, isn't it? Yeah. What about this one here? Well, you wouldn't want to be drowning, would you? You call 06... And this one? Torture chamber, unsuitable for wheelchair users. Praise God. And the next one? Really? And last but not least, a lot of you people probably see that when you travel around Asia and these toilets. That means don't stand on the toilets, David. All right? Now, these signs aren't funny. They're just really confusing, aren't they? Sometimes we dads send similar confusing messages to our kids. So we say one thing but do another. And then instruct them in a certain way to live, but then don't live those ways ourselves. And what we really need is a mentor to teach us how to be dads and how to offer a consistent model of godly fathering that will help us raise godly kids who will raise godly kids themselves. And actually, we could all learn something today from both mums and dads. However, I'm going to be focusing mainly on fathers today. But this Father's Day, we want to look at the greatest father of all, God. And we're going to look at the parable of the prodigal son. But instead of focusing on the Son's story, we're going to concentrate on the Father, because the Father is the representative of the Heavenly Father. And who better not to learn from than Him Himself? So I'm going to read the whole parable, and what I want you to ask is to pay particular attention to what the Father does and says, as well as how He reacts in different situations. And we're going to break that down. So let's start from Luke chapter 15. You'll find it from verses 11 to 32. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, "I want my share of your estate now, instead of waiting until you die." So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and took a trip to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money on wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him to feed his pigs. The boy became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, "At home, even the hired men had food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I will go home to my father and say, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired man.' So he returned home to his father. And while he was still a long distance away, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son.' But his father said to the servants, 'Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the calf that we've been fattening in the pen. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and now he has returned to life.'" He was lost, but now he's found. So the party began. Meanwhile, the older son was in the fields working. When he returned home, he heard music and dancing in the house. And he asked one of his servants, "What is going on?" "Oh, your brother is back," he was told, "and your father has killed the calf with the fattening and has prepared a great feast. We are celebrating because of his safe return." The older brother was angry and wouldn't go in. His father came out and begged him, but he replied, "All these years I've worked hard for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the finest calf we have." His father said to him, "Look, dear son, you and I are very close, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead and has come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found." You know, that's one of the most moving stories in the entire Bible, and from it we can learn how to be great dads. What I want of those of us who are dads is to take what I call this morning a father's pledge. Okay? You're probably going to go, "Oh no, he's not going to make a stand up," and I'm not going to do that. All right? I'm not asking you to say anything out loud, but I'm asking you to consider making this pledge personally to God and to your kids. But before I give you any part of this pledge, I must admit that I have failed at times on all four counts as a father, and most of you probably all have too. But that's why God is so graceful. And that's why we must be graceful with our children. What I'm asking to do is to consider this pledge today, promising God that with God's help, we will do everything we can to fulfill this pledge that we're making. First one, number one, I will be approachable. You know, as I was doing the sermon this week, Pastor Fred was meant to be delivering a sermon for Father's Day, and he's absolutely shattered. He can't be there, but I let him off. I said, mate, we can't wheel you in from the hospital and give this message today. But as I was preparing this message today, and you probably realise I've got one of my sons here looking at me, and he's probably going, all right. I just want to say publicly to my son is, please forgive me for the times I haven't been a good father. But number one, I will be approachable. I will be approachable. Did you notice that both these young men felt that they could approach their father? And not only that, but they could approach him with negative feelings. The first son asked for his inheritance. Now, an inheritance is never to be given until the father died. So, in essence, the boy was demanding something that wasn't yet his. Yet he did. The first son went to the father complaining that he was treating the younger son in a way, in one way, and treating him in another. He had that conversation with his father. There is more that I'll say about this in these circumstances in a minute, but for now, I just want to notice that both sons felt that they could approach their father and say what was on their minds. I don't think either one of us is overly, either one of them were disrespectful, yet they were both wrong in what they said. But notice that didn't stop the father from listening. This is an area that most of us fall short in, isn't it? Now, I've found that most of us aren't aware of the fact that our kids don't think that they can approach us with what's on their minds. Either we're either too busy or we just think it's not worth even talking about. It reminds me of old Jack, a godly man. Once old Jack's hospital bed was surrounded by close family members, but it didn't look good. Jack couldn't speak, however, he was conscious and aware of his health. And suddenly he motions frantically to the pastor and for something to write on. And the pastor lovingly hands him a pen and a piece of paper. And Jack uses this last bit of energy to scribble a note, a message, and then he dies. The pastor thinks it's best not to look at the note right away, and he places it in his jacket pocket. At Jack's funeral, the pastor is finishing his eulogy and he realizes that he's wearing the jacket that he was wearing when Jack died. And he said, Jack handed me a note just before he died. And I haven't looked at it, but knowing Jack, I'm sure there's a word of inspiration for us all. Opening the note, he read, help, you're standing on my oxygen hose. I told you there's going to be some dad jokes, but anyway. But sometimes, if your kids, I wonder if your kids feel like that we're cutting off the oxygen supply to them. Think about it. I remember speaking to some young adults down at Red Frogs a couple of years ago, and they came to me with some of their problems, and when I suggested that they talk to their parents, they said, oh no, that they would never listen to me. And that's sad. Now that might not be or might be the truth, but the point is that they believe that it was true, that they couldn't speak to their dads. And with young people as well as adults, perception becomes a reality, does it not? So what I need to ask myself as I'm showing signs to my kids that they, if they have a problem or a question, that I am approachable. And do you know how to know if you are not? Do you share things? Do they share things with you? Do you share things with them? Do they ask you questions? Do you ask your kids questions? Do they relate to you in such a way that you know that they can or can't talk to you? I understand a lot of this change is based solely on age, the age of your children. But even with the older ones, do you know that they needed to talk to you if they could? Do you know that? Because if they don't, they will go to someone else. And that someone else may not be the people that you want your children talking to. Why not ask them that question and see how they respond? If you find that you haven't been approachable, then let them know that from this day forward that you will do your utmost best to listen, even in times when you disagree. It is not too late. And why not better on Father's Day when everyone's all together and you can be a proud father and say, hey, listen, guys, you know, there's sometimes I may have not done things right. But I'm just letting you know that I am available for you to approach me on anything you want to. And I promise I will listen. Number two, I will be discerning. Two great commercials that were once shown on TV both had the same message: don't judge quickly. In one ad, a deli store customer standing at the counter was talking on his mobile phone, and he just says, oh man, you're being robbed. Well, the two clerks heard those words and reacted squirtedly by squirting the man with pepper spray, slugging him with a cricket bat and zapping him with an electric cattle prod. All he was doing was talking on the phone to his mate saying, you're being robbed, mate. They're ripping you off. But they heard, you're being robbed. The second commercial, a man was preparing a romantic dinner. He chops the vegetables. How many guys do that, eh? You know what I'm talking about, you know, chopping the vegetables, preparing a romantic dinner. He chops the vegetables with a large knife while tomato sauce simmers on the stove. Ah, you smell it. A white cat knocks the pan of sauce onto the floor, then falls into the mess. Just as the man picks up the tomato-splattered cat, his wife opens the door. She sees him holding a cat dripping with red sauce in one hand and him with a large knife in the other. The scene appears to be unmistakably horrific. Be okay if you didn't like cats, but no, I'll go there. But these ads show the need for discerning in the different situations we find ourselves in and consider it from every angle. And that's what we must do. So when the prodigal son came to his dad and asked for his inheritance before it was due to him, what did the father do? He gave it to him. Do you think the father didn't know that the son was going to blow the money? Really? I mean, we know our sons, don't we? We know which ones are going to do what, in a way. Do you think the dad was unaware that his son had the urge for partying and for wild living? Look, in Luke chapter 15, verse 12, it says, the younger son told the father, I want my share of your estate now. And instead of waiting until you die. So his father what? Agreed. His father agreed to divide the wealth between his sons. Now, I'm sure the father thought this thing through. And he decided to give the son the money, even though I'm sure he knew that he was going to blow the whole thing. But he obviously discerned that the lesson this boy would learn was worth it. And so he went ahead and gave him his inheritance. Now, if it had been a different boy with a different temperament, maybe he would have decided differently. But he discerned that this was the best thing to do in this situation. This is one of the hardest parts of parenting, discerning what is best action to take place in any given situation. I happen to disagree with the philosophy that you treat every child the same, because every child is not the same. and they will react differently to different circumstances. I can get one of my children and I can put them, isolate them on their bed when they were younger because they'd done something wrong, and it would absolutely, it would shatter them because they wanted to be part of everything. Another child, I'd give them a little swat and they would, the whole world would be, they'd be devastated that Dad gave them a smack. The children, they're different. They're different. We like to think they're all the same, but they're different. So we've got to raise them in godly ways to this line. They might have to bring some down. You might have to bring some up. Number three, I will be forgiving. Now, trust me, as your kids get older, this can get harder. Because they go from doing things that are childishness to things that are foolish. And there is a big thing. Have I told you about the difference between childishness and foolishness? For those younger fathers that are out there, childishness is when a kid does something and they do it because they're kids. Something might get broken, they might run into something, or they might run over something or do something. That's childishness. But once you've told your child, that's what we don't do that because of these things can happen, and you've explained and you've talked to them, just don't say, do it because I say so. A lot of old dads used to say that. You know, why? Because why is a crooked letter? Without giving any explanation. You give the explanation to your child. If the child then does it the second time, that approaches on to foolishness. Okay? That's the difference between childishness and foolishness. Right. Number three, I'll be forgiving. Are you aware that there's going to be times in your life when your children are going to disappoint you? When are they going to make the wrong decisions? When they're going to go against your will? And for those who have children who are still young, get ready. Because it's going to happen at some level with every single one of them. Praise God. The man was asked how he would handle his 12-year-old daughter's future boyfriend, and the father responded, I figure if I kill the first one, the word will get out. Do I get an amen? Right, back to the story. Did you notice how the father treated his repentant son? And repentant son. Okay, we've got to be careful that sometimes we don't get railroaded or we don't get used and abused as parents too. But the Bible particularly says his repentant son. So how did the father treat his repentant son? He threw a party. He said, my son was lost, but now he's found, and we're going to celebrate. We also need to notice that the boy was truly sorry for what he had done wrong. But the father was also overwhelmingly willing to forgive him. And when our kids go the wrong way and then they seek our forgiveness, how do we treat them? Do we rebuke them? It's easy to do that. Do we tell them to get away from us? It's easy to do that too. Do we say, I'm not listening to you because I'm sure you'll stuff up again? It's very easy to say that. Or do we say, welcome home, son. Let's party. It's obviously what God would do. Now we need to follow his example and pledge to do the same thing. It's very easy as a father to be disappointed in some of our children's decisions that they're making. Lest we forget what we were like when we were young. Yes, we want the very best for our kids. I want the absolute utmost best for my kids. But you know, the hardest thing as a father is to hand them over to God, because they were his from the very beginning. We've got to hand them to God and just pray for them. And pray. Like the healings that we've heard about today. God can do the same healing in your children. Amen? Number four, I will be thoughtful. Did you notice the old boy's reaction? He was ticked
off.
And in some ways, I can't blame him. Really, who would be ticked off if that happened? Yeah. It's our nature. It's our flesh. The father had divided the inheritance between the two of them, and his brother went out and blown all of his, while the other son remained faithful and worked hard on the farm. Yet the dad went out of his way to rejoice over the lost son's return, while the son, who had been there all along, felt left out of the picture. Luke 15:29-30. All these years I've worked hard for you and never once refused to do a single thing you told me to. And all that time you never gave me even one young goat for a feast with my friends. Yet when this son of yours comes back, which is my brother, son of yours comes back after squandering your money on prostitutes, you celebrate by killing the finest calf we have. What was he saying? He was saying, Dad, this isn't fair. I don't think you're treating me as well as you are my brother. He's saying, I am jealous and I am mad. The brother is not rejoicing over the brother's return, is he? He's not happy about the situation at all. And many of us can empathize with him. But the fact is, he was wrong. And his dad needed to straighten him out. Now, here is where many of us could learn a lesson or two. The dad didn't rebuke the son. He didn't yell at him. He didn't tell him to grow up and act like a man and stop being selfish and blah, 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 that our kids sometimes hear. Instead, he said this in Luke 15:31-32. He goes, look, dear son, you and I are very close, and everything I have is yours. We had to celebrate this happy day, for your brother was dead, and now he's come back to life. He was lost, but now he is found. You know, there's going to be a great day. There's going to be a great awakening in some of your homes. I know, I'm the same. We're all praying for our prodigals to return. What are you going to do when your prodigals return? Because they will. That's God's promise. It's God's promise. It's God's promise. They will return. What you've sown into them, they will return. So many words the dad could have said. You know what he said? He said, son, I love you. I care about you. And I want you to know that will always be the case. But I also love your brother, even though he's done wrong. And it is time to put away the past and celebrate the future that we have together. Sometimes we understand why our kids feel the way they do, and sometimes we don't. But we can always take the time to be thoughtful enough to consider, to explain, and to genuinely love them. Are you willing to make that kind of pledge this Father's Day? In conclusion, I want to close by the way I began admitting to you that I've never been perfect in these four areas of my 25 years of fathering. I try my best, and I keep trying. I have a beautiful wife that reminds me. But she does. We're a good team. But I'm trying and I'm growing and I'm doing what I can to live up to the model that has been demonstrated me by God. For each of us here, there are different weaknesses and strengths. And we all have weaknesses and strengths. But we can learn about to become the father God wants us to become, can we not? For the sake of your family, join me in making this pledge today, men. I will be approachable. I will be discerning. I will be forgiving. And I will be thoughtful. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. Lord, I lift up every father in this room. Lord, I lift up every father-to-be in this room. I lift up every spiritual father in this room. And Lord, I pray by your grace and your mercy and your help, Lord, that you will help us to be more approachable, more discerning, more forgiving, and more thoughtful to our children. Heavenly Father, I also lift up all the mums out there and the grandparents. And Lord, I do pray over them, Lord, that they will be more approachable, discerning, forgiving, and thoughtful also. Lord, today is a day where we celebrate Father's Day. But in light of everything, Lord, you want us to celebrate Father's Day every day. You want us to celebrate Mother's Day every day. And you want us to celebrate Children's Day every day. Because you are about relationship. So, Lord, I just pray for all of us, even as friends, that we take this pledge into this world, into our homes. And no matter what circumstance we're in, Lord, help us to be approachable, discerning, forgiving, and thoughtful. And I just pray, Lord, that you will give us the strength, you will give us the wisdom to do all these things. Heavenly Father, forgive us for the times that we haven't. Forgive us for the times that we have said sharp, not very nice things to our children out of our own selfishness. Forgive us. Like the son did, he repented. Lord, we repent. But Lord, I thank you for your grace. And I thank you for your mercy. And I thank you for your love. So Lord, I just pray a blessing upon every household represented in this room today. I pray for the spirit of forgiveness today. But Lord, I just pray for joy today as well. I thank you for our fathers, our earthly fathers. But Lord, most of all, I thank you, our heavenly Father. We just give you all the honour, praise, and glory. And we said,
Amen.
Amen.